So maybe some people didn't quite get to share, but we'll have a chance to do that. I'm Greg Meyer, by the way, and it's great to see you all here. You probably got a Sunday paper when you walked in. If you didn't, there are some more back there, but you might want to flip it over. There's an outline on the back that can be helpful from some of the stuff that we're talking about. So when you walked in today, did you see notice anything different? Who is it who Joan Selberg said, yeah, Greg, you're wearing a different shade of neutral. Thanks, Joan. I love you too. It is a little bit different here today. So we've been talking about some of these things, the difference between the get through and a get to kind of life. And we want to be talking about this idea today about part of that is learning from God daily. And we don't want to just do it by you're sitting in a chair and taking it in. But we thought, well, the best way that this happens, in fact, this is a premise. This is something I really, really believe. The most powerful way for you to learn anything, but certainly to learn from God, is to do it with other people. And other people where you get to actually exchange ideas and be part of the conversation, which is hopefully what you're able to do today. So you're not just taking what we're talking about, sitting in a chair with your own experience with it, but you're a part of a group of people that are going to be processing this together. So we're going to be giving you some time to talk about that today. And I know some of you absolutely love it when we get to do some of these things, and some of you absolutely hate it. And all I can say is, tough. No, I enjoy it. Yeah, help each other out. And it's all a good day for us all to get pushed out of our comfort zones a little bit. And a big thanks for all the people who worked really hard to kind of rearrange everything and get these tables moved in and stuff. So it's a lot of work, and we're going to do something even harder next week. No. So we've been talking about this getting through versus getting to thing. And the whole idea that a life where we get to do stuff, all these people, these experiences, events that wait for us, when we feel like I can really get to, the thing that makes a difference, the thing that allows us to get there is that we have a relationship with God that lets God have that kind of access to us, to transform us in a way that we just get doused with this love of God in a way that it starts changing who we are and how we react and how we deal with things. So that's an important stuff to do. And here's why this is so important to understand this from the aspect of learning from God daily. And that is that if you're not learning, and this is on your outlines, if you're not learning, you aren't growing. If you're not learning, you're not growing. And I'm sorry, this is true. It's true in all parts of life. It's certainly true in your spiritual life as well. In fact, you're not only not growing, but you're shrinking. Spirituality is like relationships. You're either building them up or they're falling apart. There is no status quo in relationships. You're either working on it, you're developing it, or what you're riding on is rusting out and it's falling apart and it's just becoming disused. And the relationship is starting to suffer from it. Your spirituality is suffering from it because the rest of your life, the rest of the world keeps moving on. All right? So when we're not learning, we're not growing. In fact, we're actually shrinking. And here's the fact, and this is also on your outline, spiritual growth is not automatic. That's a myth a lot of us suffer from. We think, because I'm growing up, I'm going to become a more spiritual person. This stuff is going to make more sense. It's just going to happen. I'm going to grow up and be a spiritual person. And guess what? You're not. You're not. Spirituality doesn't happen automatically. It happens because we're very deliberate about it. Now, as we get older, we mature in a lot of ways, and we think they happen automatically. We mature physically, we mature emotionally, we mature intellectually, we mature socially and other ways as well. The reason that we do is that stuff is getting fed to us on a constant basis. Our parents are giving us the food that we need to physically grow up, and you have the medical checkups. You're going to school on a daily basis once you get old enough, and your parents are doing all kinds of stuff. You're mixing with different groups of people, so socially you're growing as well. But there's something about spirituality that we don't necessarily get plugged into. In fact, what happens for a lot of us is that our lives mature physically, emotionally, intellectually, and so on, and we become 18, 25, 30, 40 years old, and we're very sophisticated adults in all those arenas, but where is our spirituality? Well, we may have had almost no training in it, or otherwise we really plugged into it till we were in about second or third grade, and then we, opted out. And we really didn't have anything that was focused, that was connected, that was committed. Remember those things we talked about last week? To really help that grow. And our spirituality, the rest of our life is up here, and our spirituality is down here, a second grade level. And then what happens? Then you run into the sort of stuff that happens as adults. A relationship that blows up on you, a parent that gets sick, maybe an illness yourself, financial problems, whatever. You turn to your faith, you turn to that spirituality that you have because you want something there, you want something from God, but what's there? A second grade understanding of God. a second grade maturity and development of what faith is all about. And guess what happens? It doesn't do the job. It's immature. It's unable to support your sophisticated, mature life that's all around it. And so what is your conclusion? This is for simple-minded people. It's not real. It's a wannabe. It's not really going to happen. And God, too, God's a nice idea, which God was real, but face it. I look at this, there's nothing there. It's just empty. Now, is that God's fault? No. It's us. We stopped learning. We stopped growing. We stopped maturing. And that's what needs to change, is that we need to learn. And if you're going to learn from God, you need to learn from God daily. We need to learn from God, and that makes spiritual growth happen. And there's a lot of reasons why all that happens. But one of the things that we need to know is when we are learning from God, we're learning this stuff. This isn't like, oh, I'm somehow supposed to turn into all this illogical, kind of nonsensical. I somehow have to kind of let go of the real world, and I've got to embrace all this God stuff and somehow believe all that. No, that isn't what it's about, all right? What God is trying to teach you isn't illogical or it isn't nonsensical. Now, it is beyond us, though. In fact, what God's role is in helping us grow as individuals is to be able to touch and hold on to the stuff that is beyond our capacities as a human being. And that's why often here at Jacob's Well, we talk about the stuff that God teaches us, the stuff that needs to be revealed to us because we will never come up with it ourselves, is counterintuitive, meaning I never would have thought of that. You know, I thought the world worked this way, but all of a sudden, something about my faith, something about this, what I'm learning from God daily, teaches me that, no, the world actually works this way. And when I try it, you know what? I never would have thought of that. I have a hard time believing it, but my gut tells me this is right. And something about my experience says this is also right. It's counterintuitive, but it makes sense. I believe that when God teaches you the most divine things, the most faith-oriented things that you could have, they're probably counterintuitive. They're probably going to turn your world upside down and backwards a little bit, but they're going to make sense. You're going to say, you know what? There's something in me that was always trying to understand the world that way before, and now I get it. We aren't going to come up with that stuff ourselves. God is the one that does it. Now, in the Bible, it's full of stories, like the one I shared with you last week. That's a story about an event. And that, you know, are those events historically true or not? You know, I'm not even worried about that. What I like is that the reason that those stories are told is that they teach us something that we need to know. So there's a story from the early parts of the Bible where the Israelites have been in captivity in Egypt for hundreds of years, and then Moses rises up as a leader, and he leads them into the wilderness away from that slavery, and then everybody's all excited about that, but then what happens? Then they're in the wilderness, right? You're out in the desert, lots and lots of people with all the abundant food, you know, 7-Eleven on every corner. And so we have this little passage. This is on your outline. It's up on the screens. And it says this: the whole congregation, all these people, all these Israelites, they complained against Moses and his secondhand man, Aaron, and they say, "You have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. There's no food out here." Then the Lord says to Moses to tell them, "I am going to rain bread from heaven for you, and each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day." All right, so we're talking here about being led by God to know things, to learn things that we will never learn on our own, that the world is not capable of teaching us because they're sort of like, what, deeper in this world than our world can teach us. And God has to give this to us and bring us out into this place. What I'd like you to do is to, at your tables, make sure you kind of got introduced. And if you, looks like our tables are pretty well distributed, pretty well filled up, so that's good. So if you haven't introduced everyone, make sure you know who everyone is at your table. And then just talk about this reading a little bit. Well, what do you see going on there? What are some interesting questions, ideas, thoughts you have? Do you see any links there between what the Israelites' experience was and what they were talking about and this idea about learning from God daily? You're all looking at me like, wow. So go ahead, read it out loud together, and take a shot at it. No right answers, just possible insights and questions. Go for it. Okay. I'm sure you guys have all totally mastered that reading. Was that easy? Was it hard? That's kind of abstract stuff there. Any insights? Anything anybody can throw back at us? Just a thought, an idea that you had? You want to share? Question? So it's a humbling thing maybe for Moses and Aaron to lead them out there and say, now what do we do with them? Which they definitely experience, but also for the people. So we're all excited about this. We want to follow you, God. Then all of a sudden, boom, here we are. And we're supposed to still stick with you. It isn't what we thought. Okay. Any other stuff? Other ideas? All right. So you probably couldn't all hear. Ashley is saying about how the last line about enough for that day, and that there's, you know, different ways of living, and one is where you keep giving, so that you're relying on God to fill you up again tomorrow, and then there's the opposite of that is where you try to accumulate enough, right, and so that you've got everything taken care of, and you don't really need to worry about tomorrow because you've got it handled, right? Okay, other stuff, other things. Ooh, today's a great day to say learn something new. All right. Which day was that referring to? Today. Was it someone here, Carla? Okay, so the idea that this doesn't just come and fall on your mouth. You do have to take action. You're called to do something, and you have to respond. So God's taking care of you, but you don't just sit on the couch and wait for it to happen. All right. Well, lots of good stuff, and I hope you have more ideas, and I'm sure you do, and share them and think about them. But there is some really important stuff, and I just want to run through a few of them as well, is this idea that that God wakes us up. Wakes us up from our illusions. So we live in slavery. We all have. We live in some kind of slavery. Slavery to a world that doesn't really give life. And we think that works. And God says, this is why I want to break in. This is why I want to begin to teach you things every day so I can lead you away from that. But then we find when we get led into that world, into this land where God defines a war, all of a sudden we find we are very incompetent in that land. I was pretty good at handling my own land. I was pretty competent at this world where you earn a salary, you take care of yourselves, and you try to climb the ladder. Or, you know, so at least a lot of people feel like I can do that. Maybe I'm not doing real well. At least I understand it. I get it. All right, it's clear what I'm supposed to do. And God starts pulling you to another place. We're doing like what this other group said, where I'm going to live. I'm going to give of myself freely today, and I'm going to rely on God helping me in many, many ways to support me again tomorrow. I'm going to kind of live on my margins and stuff like that. And when you get there, that's a scary place to be. And that's kind of what they experienced. They got taken out of slavery, and then they're in the wilderness. And all of a sudden, this looked good before, but I'm not so sure I like it. I think I would rather go back to slavery where I know I'm not going to die tomorrow. You know, so that kind of stuff is going on inside us. And and then this whole idea that they are going to get fed something. God says, you know, all right, I brought you in here because I needed you to realize how much you need to rely on me, okay? And I'm going to rain something from heaven. I'm going to bring you something that you could not think of for yourself, you couldn't even know to ask for, and it's going to come to you. All right? But you had to know how unable you are to supply it for yourself. That's why you got hungry in the wilderness first. So you'd realize how you really relied on me in this new world to do that. And you know what's interesting? If you know these stories, what is this stuff that God gives them in the wilderness? Anybody know what it's called? Manna. Right. God gives them manna, which is not the name of something. Do you know what manna means in Hebrew? It means, what's that? Literally, that's what it means. It means, what's that? So God gave them this stuff, and people said, what's that? He said, this is what you're going to live off of. All right? I mean, this is what it's like, folks. You're going to start learning from God. You're going to learn what's that kind of stuff. It's stuff you didn't know. You didn't even know the questions to ask. Because where it's coming from is so deeply woven into the fabric of existence that you come out of, you can't see that deep. All right? And God's going to start pulling this stuff up and weaving it into your life and showing you and leading you. And God is going to do it. This group caught that. Do it day by day. All right? I'm going to give you enough for today. In fact, if you read the rest of these stories, you realize that the instructions are pick enough manna just for today, not enough for tomorrow. Because if you pick enough for more than one day, it's all going to spoil and rot. All right? So just get enough for today. Tomorrow will be there again. Trust me. And go pick what you need tomorrow. Why does God do that? What's that about? Why doesn't God just give us a bucketful and we could go motoring on our way? It's because God knows our digestive systems, you know? Not just our physical ones, but our spiritual ones. if we get too much, it just blows us away. We can't comprehend it. We can't understand it. We can't integrate it. And why do we learn stuff? For two things. We're going to be talking about these the next 2 weeks. We learn things in order to act on them and to pass them on. If we get too much at a time, we can neither act on it nor can we pass it on. We just end up with a big load of stuff that we don't even know what to do with. We think we like it the other way, you know. But can you imagine not being fed physically every day? Well, what if you said, okay, I'm going to give you enough food so you don't need to eat for 2, 3, 4, maybe a week, you know? No way. I mean, we all say that. Thanksgiving, how many of us, you know, push away from the table and say, I don't need to eat for a week? Yeah, but about 9 o'clock, you're back at those leftovers, you know? Face it, you know, the next day you're eating just as much as ever. We need to be fed physically every day. We need to be fed spiritually every day. And when you are not learning, when you are not being fed daily, you're not growing. And when you're not growing, you're shrinking. Your life is leaving, and your life with God is falling behind. So this idea that you need to, this is on your outlines, to grow, you need to deliberately feed and exercise your spirituality. You need to do, it's got to be deliberate, folks. It doesn't happen automatically. It's because you choose to work with God. You choose to let God have that kind of access to your life, and you find ways to be about that. And you need to feed, you need to eat that manna that God falls, and you need to exercise it. You got to get out there. You got to do it, all right? Like this other group here said, God provides it, but God says you got to go get it, all right? You need to feed it, you need to exercise it. All of our muscles work that way. They need both of those sorts of things going on. And what the truth is that, spiritually speaking, if you are only getting fed once a week, or even less often sometimes, you're starving, all right? If you're only feeding on the Word of God, if you're only feeding on what God is trying to teach you once a week or less, you are starving. So that's something for us to kind of wrap our heads around. Now, one thing I need to be clear about is that this learning from God, and this is also on your outlines, learning from God doesn't only happen in the Bible or from the Bible. We learn from God in lots of ways. We learn from God from the Bible. We learn from God from other writings by people who are reflecting on all sorts of ways. Sometimes they don't even look religious at all. We learn from God from our meditation, from prayer, from experiences with other people, from experiences in the world. But the truth is that if the Bible, and this is, I think, really important for us to hear today in this era that we live in, if the Bible is a wall for you, in other words, something you just bump up against and you can't get through it, this is just like too weird, too hard to deal with, it's a wall instead of a door, in other words, a passage into a world that God is trying to show you and teach you about, then you've got a problem. If the Bible is a wall, not a door, you've got a problem. Now, it isn't your fault. The Bible is hard, all right? I wish God would have made it a little easier, but God didn't. The Bible is hard. Also, the Bible is really, really old, all right? It's going to take some work. So it isn't your fault, but you are the one that's going to have to solve this, and you can do it. There's some really people who aren't geeks can really get into the Bible. I know, I do. Okay, I've got better evidence than that, but no, the Bible is fascinating, but you do have to get familiar with it enough that you begin to know how to deal with it and understand it and understand its world and begin to make some of those translations from its world to your world. And believe me, it's a mystery. So while there's lots of learning that happens from God that isn't just Bible study, right? It's not just all about Bible study, but it is rooted in the Bible. It grows from the Bible, and it needs to be checked with the Bible, not in a literal way, not in I can prove it, this verse said that. No, it doesn't work that way. It goes from understanding the heart of God that is revealed in the Bible. It's getting fluent and familiar enough with the Bible that you aren't stuck by just trying to interpret a verse and what this one says this, therefore I do that, but I understand the heart of what God is communicating, the big picture, the big message of the Bible and what that's all about. So that's some pretty important stuff. What I'd like you to do then is, at your tables, this is a quick one, but just go around the table, and this is going to take a little bit of risk on your part, but rate yourself, 1 to 10. How spiritually malnourished or well-fed are you? Okay? Can you do that? And maybe, how do you feel about that? What's one thing you could do about it? Okay? Go for it. Take off your tables. 1 is malnourished, 10 is... But if you're really embarrassed, you can say you got that mixed up, you know, and you can give yourself a 2. And so last week we talked about examine our life regularly. This is a chance for you to do that. This isn't to beat you up. Where you are is where you are. And don't underrate yourself. You might be surprised at the ways you're learning from God right now that you're not giving yourself credit for. So it's just good to kind of check in with yourself. But learning from God comes largely, I think, in three ways. One, it comes in like the large community, like we're doing here. Sunday morning, we're all together, and there's a lot of learning and a lot of, I think, inspiration with faith that happens. Then there's what we do individually, and hopefully we take time daily to spend some time with God. Reading the Bible, reading other things, some time with prayer, time with just being quiet and pausing for God to be present. And then there's this in groups like you're sitting at today, maybe a little bit bigger, you know, like probably 6 to 12 people. And that actually, like I said earlier, is the most powerful way of learning. And God is able to work the most powerfully for it. Because what it does is it takes the good intentions that we have on a Sunday morning like this, where maybe we get inspired and so on. It takes those. And it also takes all those great ideas and those insights and things you have when you're doing work on your own and your questions, and it puts wheels on them. Because it gives you a chance to actually talk about them, to share them with other people, hear their feedback, hear the same things that other people had, and to hold each other accountable and so on. In fact, there's a little box on your outline that says sort of these things are really important. This is what happens in groups. You have, one, the structure to actually do something, right? There's a time, there's a place, there's some people waiting for you to be there. So we actually have a tendency to do it, all right? And that helps. I know it helps me. It's also fun. Those relationships are fun, so that's a good thing. There's no reason why it shouldn't be. Then there are people to learn from there, the people that can teach you, and there are people that can be taught by you. Those are both really, really important if you want to actually learn the stuff that God is trying to teach you. And last, there's friends that you're going to know well enough to trust. Because the real stuff in life that we all need help with, the places where God is trying to go, you're not going to just share with anybody. You're going to share them with people whom you trust and that you know trust you. And we need to get there. We need to find places to do that. So that's kind of why we're doing that. Learning to learn with a group of people is really, really key. It's an important thing to do, and that's why we spend some time doing it. But one of the problems with that is that when we start getting with some people that we really start trusting and enjoying being with, and we do a lot of learning together, is we get stuck. We get infected with a disease called koinonitis, all right? Koinonia is that Greek word that talks about the fellowship when people come together. And when you get too much of it, it turns inward on itself. And you become a little insular group, and you're no longer open to the rest of the world. You're no longer living day by day. You're controlling it. And we need to get out of it. So I'm going to do something that you're all going to hate me for, okay? In a minute, you are all going to get up, and you are going to change tables. And you are going to go to a different table with nobody who's with you right now, all right? And that probably means one of you can stay where you are, and you can have fistfights over who that is. If you have to go with someone because this is like just so impossible, I'm not policing it, okay? But I'm going to ask you to get it. But here's why. Let me explain it, right? So I want to take you on a 35,000, the 1,000, and the ground level understanding of why this is true. 35,000 feet above field school, okay? 35,000 feet. We live in a planet with over 6 billion people, folks, all right? If you stack this up on top of each other, we would go all the way to the moon and back almost 14 times. That is a lot of people. They are all not like you. All right? And somehow we need to learn how to get along. We have to not just be with the people we know and understand and like, but we have to be able to understand with a lot of other people. That's 35,000 feet. 1,000 feet, okay? You were born in a family, all right? Some people you were very comfortable with. This is really, really easy, and that was nice, but guess what? It didn't stay that way. That kid moved in down the street, became your friend. You started to play with him. You went to school. You met all these other people. All of this, you go to work and you meet people there. Gradually, you maybe lock onto a person that you decide you want to spend your life with. And along with that wonderful person, you also get relatives and other friends you didn't get to choose. And all sorts of things like this. We need to get really good at bringing new people into our lives. And not just tolerating them, but respecting them, valuing them, and building bonds of interrelationship with them, okay? Interdependence with them. That's key. We got to get good at this, folks. Our planet is suffering because we're not very good at it. All right? And God, that's one of the things God's trying to teach you daily is how to do that, how to get to new people. All right, ground level. You sat down at a table today, probably with some people you didn't know yet. Right now, hopefully, you're feeling kind of comfortable. That's good. It's not going to stay this way. All right? You're going to get to a group. You're going to go to a group life group, and there's going to be people you don't know. In fact, you may not know anybody, and it may take an act of God to get you through the door that very first time. And gradually, hopefully, that's going to become great. But you know what? There's going to be new people that need to come to that group. And you need to be good at welcoming them and including them into whatever kind of appropriate intimacy is there so that you can trust each other and share with each other. We need to get good at that, folks. We can't be insular. We can't be closed circles. We need to stay open. So, with that said, I'd like you to go switch tables, take any your coffee cup with you, whatever, and this is what I'd like you to talk about. You can tell them whether you're ever coming back to Jacob's Well or not. No, talk about, was this easy and fun for you to do? Was it really hard and not fun at all? Or it was, okay, it's what we're supposed to do, I get the point. So go ahead, find a new table. So you're settled in there with all of your new friends. You introduced yourselves, all right? You all know who each other is. You can read your name tags across the table, I hope. That's good. All right, so there's one more. A little round this off a little bit here tonight, this morning. There's another Bible verse that I want to, it's on your outlines on the screen up here. In just a second, it says this. It's just Jesus speaking. He says, "Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit unless it abides in the vine, so you cannot if you do not abide in me." There's something about learning from God daily, being that connected to God, that God has that kind of access to you to begin to reform you, transform you to this new world that God is calling you into, that is very similar, I think, to what Jesus is talking about there. I think it's pretty obvious. Being connected to the vine so that you can bear fruit. If you're not connected to that vine, it's not going to happen. That's kind of neat. I think it's kind of obvious. But I like that word abide. Abide. We don't use it a whole lot, but I think most of us know what it means. It means like to dwell in, to kind of be in something. And that's interesting. In Greek, this was written in Greek. That's literally what it means. It means to remain in something. But Jesus didn't speak Greek. Jesus was speaking Aramaic, which was based out of Hebrew. And the word for to remain, to abide, is a different word. It has different meanings in Hebrew and in Aramaic. In fact, if you think back at those Israelites that were in the wilderness for those 40 years, it took them a lifetime of living off of this manna in order to be with God. The Bible talks about them as doing the same thing, dwelling. It's the same word, to dwell, to remain in the wilderness. They were remaining in the wilderness, but that word in Hebrew has this other meaning. It means also to sojourn. In other words, to stay in something, to abide in something, to remain something, is to sojourn in it, is to travel, to wander, to get lost in it. So what's Jesus talking about? He says, when you abide in me and I abide in you, this is messy stuff. Because God abiding in you, like, wanders all over inside of you. Gets in there, messes up, changes all the settings on your operating system. You know? And when you abide in God, you are abiding in this expansive, you can't even comprehend how much it is. And you get lost in God. And there's always possibilities, imaginations. There's more yes, yes, yes than no's. And they all lead you in ways that lead towards life, not towards death. They lead to opportunities, not towards dead ends. And they pull you there. It's amazing, and I think that's what it's about. If there's anything that, a last thought that I want us to hold with us, and I hope we can hold this all the time, is that when we learn from God daily, we learn from a big God. A big God. A God that is so big that you get lost in God. It is so important. We are so busy trying to turn God into religion, to turn the things that God is trying to show us into our own little sets of rules and stuff that we know that works, that we keep making God littler and littler so God is just, what, a manifestation of the way we want the world to be. And God says, no, get lost in me, sojourn in me, abide in me, wander in me, get lost in me. Learn from a big, big God. There's a couple of things here that I want to say that these are warnings that maybe you have a too little God. Maybe you have a God with nice, neat answers to every question. We talk about a better question is way better than an easy answer. But if you've got a God that's always got a nice, neat answer, your God might be a little bit too small. Or if you have a God that fears being doubted or challenged, that you're not supposed to do that to this God. No, God is big enough to use those doubts, use those challenges. Those are signs of life. If you have a God that always agrees with you, your God is probably way too little, because my experience with God is that God is constantly stretching me and scaring me silly, all right? Showing me stuff and turning all of my tables upside down, pulling the carpet out from under my feet. If you have a God who categorizes people to know how to deal with them and to judge them and to dismiss them, you probably have too small of a God. If you have a God that you can get to know in less than a lifetime, that God is too little of a God. Those Israelites, they wandered for 40 years. You remember that? All right, that's how long it's been in the wilderness. 40 isn't meant to be taken literally. 40 has meaning in Hebrew thinking. It means forever. It means a lifetime. All right? We were going to be eating from the hand of God for a lifetime in order to do that. That's some pretty important stuff to do.
You're good. A lot of churches talk about small groups, but I think this is a big God, and I kind of think we need to talk about big groups. And I don't mean big in numbers, but we need to be part of a group that is big, that's full of people that can know us well enough to let us step into this big God that can feel scary sometimes, that involves this vulnerability, and that people that know us well enough but that aren't exactly like us and that are different. And what this really reminds me of is I had my first yoga class I ever took. I remember trying to do one of those crazy poses. Maybe it was this one. Have you guys done this one? And the teacher said, okay, it's a balance. It's a balance between effort and surrender. And that really helped me. And I'm still trying to grasp what that means for yoga, just for it's something to do with breathing. I know that. But I think it has implications for us in so many areas, and especially when we're learning from God involves effort and surrender. And learning from God in a group involves effort and surrender. I think it's hard to let yourself need other people. It takes effort to show up at a group. It takes effort just to make it fit into your life, right? It takes effort to be a host and send that email out and let everybody know where you're going to be. It takes effort to maybe clean up enough that you feel comfortable. It takes effort to not clean up and let people come anyways, right? And it takes surrender. And it's so tempting, and I know I do this too, to try to manage and be in just the right group and have just the right people and just the right plans, and all of that is important, to try to get all those things organized and to try to get yourself there. And that effort matters, and there's some letting go too. I think there's some taking deep breaths, trusting this big God that has really big love for you and really big love for all the other people, and wants to make a difference in our lives. And we got to just lean on that sometimes, because groups are messy and life is messy. And so I just want you to think about that, effort and surrender, and live with both of those and stay at it, because this really matters. It matters for you. It matters for the people around you. And this is how God wants to love us and make us whole. It's a really big way that God can do that.
Thanks. Everybody. Have a seat. Today's a little different. We're going to end a little different as well. So there's this story that's told in quite a few of the Gospels, the books of the Bible that talk about the life of Jesus. And it's about this rich young man. He comes up to Jesus and says, Jesus, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus says, well, you know the commandments. You know, don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal, honor your mother, your father. He says, I've been doing it. I'm doing it all. And Jesus says, wow, it's amazing. There's all this stuff that he'd handle, the world that he could control, stuff he took from God, but he kind of had it the way he could do it, and he says, I'm doing that. So Jesus says, well, then let me, he didn't say this, this is where I'm throwing in the middle of it, let me pull you out into the wilderness. So go sell all that you have, give it to the poor, and come and follow me. Ooh, surrender. Follow me. Rely on what I feed you daily so that you could actually be free, that you can actually live the life that you're called to live. That's what Jesus is about. That's what following Jesus is about. That's what learning from God is all about. Don't be surprised if you start listening to God and it turns your world upside down a little bit. It probably needs to. But that's why we're here together too, to walk each other through that, to help each other through that, to help us see that that is the life that we were choosing the whole time. at your table, someone brought some bread. There's wine, there's grape juice. The wine is the dark red. The grape juice is the light colored. There are not enough the crafts to go around, so you're going to have to serve your table and then look for the people around you who don't have it and that are looking desperate and pass it to them and let them do it. Okay, I think you all should have bread, and there's some gluten-free or hypoallergenic wafers there for people who have allergies. And I invite you to just share this communion moment, this moment of being fed by God in a way that you don't understand, I don't understand, I can't even explain, but we trust that God is somehow getting us ready for the journey, to sojourn in God through this. So just share with each other, and maybe the words that you would have are something about our prayer for this week. This week our prayer is, God, help me discover something more about you this week. Today, help me discover something about you today. And so maybe, you know, what you might want to say on as you give someone that this is God, something new from God for you today. Let's discover what that is. So share that with each other. And after you've done that, we invite you to consider group life. And there's going to be some tables. Melissa, do you have a few instructions about that?
Yeah, take your time with communion. But I do want you to know that down here afterwards, there'll be a table for each day of the week, basically. That's one of the big ways that we organize groups is, when can you meet? So come and learn from any of those tables about what groups are existing. Meet other people who might be able to meet on that day. Just ask questions. Greg's going to be in the middle just for big questions like, I've tried this before and I didn't like it. You can talk to Greg about that honest stuff. If you're new here, there are going to be cookies over there for you. We're glad you came today. You deserve some cookies, especially today.
Always deserve cookies.
Yes.
So share this gift with each other, and then consider group life, and feel free to have questions. I can put things on your communication cards about it as well, but do a little investigating, and go and be Jacob's Well this week, and live in faith. The Vikings might win this afternoon.